now the word that was read earlier in your hearing. I just want to highlight a verse or two, I guess beginning at verse 21. That's Mark chapter 6. You should read that whole account when you have a chance. Mark chapter 6, beginning at verse number 14 and reading down to verse 29. But I'm going to start at verse 21. And when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords, high captains, and chief estates of Galilee. And when the daughter of the said Herodotus came in and danced and pleased Herod, and then there sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it to thee. And he sware unto her, whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it to thee up until half my kingdom. And she went forth and said unto her mother, what shall I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist.
I want to talk this morning about when destiny meets opportunity. This account takes place after Jesus becomes famous. His name is famous now. He's healed a woman with the issue of blood. He's brought back Jairus' daughter. And now the word is out. And so the question becomes, who is this guy? He goes to his hometown, and you remember, he couldn't heal many people in his hometown because of their unbelief. And so now the word is all around the area. Who is this? Some say, well, this is John the Baptist. Some say this is Elijah. Some say, no, this is another of the prophets. But Herod is the king. And Herod had married this woman by the name of Herodotus. Study says that Herod was on a trip to Rome, and he stopped by his brother's house, and he fell in love with his brother's wife and married her. Look at somebody and say, he was a dog. So the fact of the matter is, so Herod and Herodotus got together, and Herodotus left her husband. Herod divorced his present wife and went back to live with Herod in his kingdom. But in that kingdom, there was a preacher by the name of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a courageous brother. You know, you remember the story about John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness. He was a T.D. Jakes of his day. John the Baptist says to Herod, it's not right, it's not lawful for you to marry your brother's wife. Herodotus could not stand him. How many of you know that there's nothing like a woman's wrath? Herodotus says, the nerve of you, a little mealy-mouthed preacher, telling me, the queen, and Herod the king, that we cannot be together. Herodotus wanted him dead. But John the Baptist was afraid to kill. Herod was afraid to kill John the Baptist because he thought that it would lead to an insurrection. But one day, Herod has a birthday party. He invites all of the guys, all of the leaders, all of the captains, all of the secretary of state. He invites them all to his birthday party. And on that particular day, the daughter of Herodotus, who would have been Herod's stepdaughter, dances for King Herod. And the text says that she danced so well. Look at somebody and say, this wasn't a praise dance. This was not a liturgical dance. You don't do liturgical praise dances at a birthday party. Now, you can just imagine what kind. You can imagine. Can't you? I know you guys. You can think about what she had on. In my mind, she must have been fine. She was a fine sister. And my God, this woman danced. It doesn't help. I mean, it doesn't hurt, I guess. You know, it was his birthday party. Herod probably was drunk.
probably been drinking. The boys been drinking. I don't think they smoked back in the day. He didn't have no crack. It was all wine. But at that party, this girl danced, and she pleased him, and she pleased all of his cabinet. And it says, and the text says that she pleased him so much that Herod promised her, "You can ask for anything you want, and I will give it to you up to half the kingdom." What a dance. What a dance. And one would assume that this, doing a little research, the Bible really doesn't say what the girl's name was, but historians say that her name was Salome, that Salome was the daughter of Herodotus, and she was a young thing, and she was surprised. She didn't go there expecting that this would be a destiny moment. You don't always know when destiny is going to show up. Sometimes you just have to show up, and God shows up. She didn't expect she was going to have to deal with destiny at this party. She goes there. She's young. And her stepfather, Herod, says, "You can ask for anything you want up to half of the kingdom." She didn't know what to ask for. So she goes and she asks her mother, Herodotus, "What should I ask for?" You know, how many of you know sometimes your mother can give you bad advice? Just because she's your mother. I know what we say on Mother's Day, but all mothers ain't saints. Herodotus had a problem. She hated John the Baptist. She hated him because he messed with her personal life. He's a little preacher, and here I am, the queen, and he's going to try to tell me how to live my life. And Herodotus was that poison. How many of you know sometimes your parents poison can affect your mind and affect your spirit? So Salome goes and asks her mother, "What should I ask for?" And one would have thought that Herodotus would have given her some sound advice. Sometimes you can get wise counsel. You got to be careful where you get advice from. I don't care if you know some of your mother's poison and some of your father's poison, and you've got to be able to discern. Salome goes and asks Herodotus, "What shall I ask for?" And Herodotus says, she didn't say, "Ask for a 401k. Ask for something to make you, ask for, you know, some houses. And ask, he said he'll give you half of the kingdom. Ask for the suburbs. Give him the ghetto." She didn't tell her, "Ask for power positions. Ask for something for your grandchildren." She didn't say, "Ask for forgiveness." She just said, "Ask for John the Baptist's head." And this young dancer asked immediately for John the Baptist's head. How many of you know that you never know when destiny is going to show up? And when destiny shows up, it showed up in this particular instance when this young girl was able to ask for anything she wanted, and she blew it because she made the wrong decision. Not every moment is a destiny moment. God's not interested in what color your shoes are. God is not interested in, you know, what color your dress is and what kind of car you drive. Those are not destiny moments. But you and I need to ask God, when destiny shows up, give me the strength to make the right choice. Because the decisions you make at a destiny moment will haunt you for the rest of your life. Do I have a witness in the house? It would have been good if Salome, she's young, let's say she's 25, let's say she's 30, I don't know, she's a young woman. It would have been good for her to say, "Well, I just don't know what to ask for right now. can I have a week? I got your advice, Mama, but let me see if I can ask somebody else. Now, you do have to be careful who you ask advice from. Don't think in a destiny moment that you have to make a decision right away. Some decisions you need to pray over. In fact, all the decisions you need to pray over. You need to wait on God. You need to ask God, Lord, let me make a destiny move. I know somebody can relate to what I'm talking about because, you know, some women in here in particular, you've been waiting for Mr. Wright for 15 years. Now you're getting tired of waiting. You're going to take matters in your own hands. And you're going to marry. You say, well, you know, my biological clock is running out. I got to do something. Come on, Willie. And you go around there and you marry Willie. If your name is Willie, I'm not talking about you. You think it's going to be a destiny move? It's not a destiny move. It's a nightmare. And you messed up Willie's life and your life because Willie is a nightmare to you, but he could have been a blessing to somebody else. And old Willie's just looking at you because you look good. Destiny. Sometimes we can move too fast without waiting on God. How many of you know that every decision is not a destiny decision? I'm 61 years old. I probably had maybe 10 or 15 destiny decisions. I mean, decisions that would impact my life forever. One of the destiny moments I was looking back on my life happened. Several of destiny moments happened right here at Mount Olive. But one was when I just got here in 1984, and Mrs. Somerville came to speak on Foreign Missions Sunday. And Mrs. Somerville gave her speech, and I was 33 back then, and she said to the congregation, y'all let that boy come to Lot Carey. And she said, I will pay for it. Back then, we were giving about $500 a year. John Underwood and the board wasn't having it, that we were going to spend a lot of money to send me and anybody else to Lot Carey. But Mrs. Somerville said, I will pay for him. I didn't know it was a destiny moment at that time, but it changed my life. You don't know all the time when destiny shows up on your front step. Destiny works. In this case, it worked at a drunken stupor where the girl danced and God turned the situation around and allowed him to ask her, what do you want? You can have anything up to half the kingdom. And when God gives you a destiny moment, you ought to pray, Lord, let me make the right choice. It's a terrible thing to have a destiny moment and then always be looking back and thinking about what I should have, could have done. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Destiny shows up at the train station and you at the airport. So this young Salome, after she does what her mother says and says, just ask for John the Baptist's head. I can imagine over the next few years, I can imagine she's crying, thinking, oh my God, I blew it big time. I could have had half the kingdom. God showed up. God answered my prayer. And I was just too young and too stupid to make the right decisions. And she's looking back forever thinking, if I had just had the right counsel. I had just been able to hear the voice of God. Here's the other thing. Don't make destiny decisions with bad information. The girl had bad information. All she had was how her mother hated John the Baptist. She had a weak stepfather who was only going to do what his wife told him to do. This girl acted
acted too quickly. Now let me hesitate to say this. Even though you can make decisions too quickly, you can also miss destiny opportunities by being too slow. How many of you know that destiny decisions have a shelf life? That's some decisions that I should have made. But look at somebody saying it's too late. I didn't have the strength. I didn't have the knowledge. I didn't have the power to make a decision when I should have made it back then. And then unfortunately, it's gone. Ain't no sense in me beating up on anybody else. It's me, oh Lord. I'm the one that blew it. I didn't have the courage to stand up at that particular time. Sometimes your destiny decisions can be too late if you don't make it.
So here she is, this young, beautiful dancer. She has an opportunity. It's a destiny move. She asked the wrong one. And she asked for the wrong thing. It's a terrible thing for destiny to show up and you don't know what to ask for.
Opportunity is right there in front of you. God is getting ready to bless you. God is getting ready to open up a door for you. God is getting ready to give you the desires of your heart. God is getting ready to just give you the man or the woman of your heart. God is getting ready to bless you with a wonderful future, and you are just sitting there looking back.
It's a terrible thing that you give the past more power than the future. It would have been great if Herodotus had been able to say, "Forgive me for my hatred." It would have been great if that mother had said, "I have let John the Baptist destroy my life. He has too much power over me." It would have been nice for Herodotus to say, "Don't fall into the same trap that I fell into as a wife." It would have been nice for Herodotus to tell Salome, "I blew it in my marital relationship. I blew it big time. It's robbed me of my joy. Oh, we had sex, yeah. Ooh, we knew how to party, yeah. But one thing, after I got older, I looked back on my life and said, it's more than a party. It's a life." It would have been wonderful if Herodotus had been able to say, "I made some bad choices." Is there anybody in here who's got the nerve to say, "I made a bad choice a few times"? Anybody in here to say, "I don't want my kids to make the same mistake I made"? But the choices, young people, this is for you. You got to know that your choices has got to match your destiny. Here you are wanting to be a lawyer, taking an art course. It doesn't go together. Ain't nothing wrong with art. But if you want to be a lawyer, you got to get in a law program. Oh, you preaching, Jackson. If they don't want to hear, go on. Go ahead. Preach. Preach, boy.
Your decisions have got to match your destiny.
Young people all the time, "What do you want to be, Ralph? What do you want to be, sir?" "Well, I want to be a lawyer. I want to be this."
Well, go to school, for God's sake.
Your destiny. Your destiny is shaped by your decisions. You make some good decisions, or you make some bad decisions. I've seen young people in this church over the 28 years I've been here. I've seen some gifted, brilliant young people had so much promise, but they made some bad decisions. They never really reached their full potential because of bad choices. Salome,
could have had half the kingdom. Can you imagine? Can you imagine her getting to be 65 years old? Her stepfather's dead now. Her mom is dead. She's sitting around with three kids, no kingdom, and no pension. That's time to have a brew. Because she knew she blew it big time. I could have had all of this, and I made a bad choice, and I'm stuck. Look at somebody and say, you're stuck with your choices. Don't come in here blaming your mama. Don't come in here blaming your daddy. Don't come in here talking about what daddy wasn't here. A whole lot of us didn't have daddies around. But you made the choice. Stuck with our choices. Our prayer today is, God, help me to make better choices. Help me to make some better. Can anybody pray that prayer? Would you just help me to make some better choices? Destiny. Destiny shows up and would be good if we could make good choices, but most of us can relate to Salome. Most of us can relate to Salome. I mean, it's good for me to stand up here and preach, you know. It's wonderful, you know, if you know Salome, but the fact of the matter is we got more Salomes in here than you want to think. How many of you know sometimes we make choices with our emotions? And sometimes we make choices with our intellect. We weighed it all. But how many of you know that a destiny moment is not necessarily about emotion, or a destiny moment is not necessarily about intellect? A destiny is about revelation. That's when God shows up in your life and says, I want you to go this way or that way. On Thursday, I think it was Thursday, I had to go down to Valley Forge for a meeting. I'm on this commission representing Lot Carey, developing a dialogue between Baptists and Muslims in the United States. And so we're planning this conference to take place at Andover Newton Seminary in Boston. In November. So they just gave me the address, and I just put it into my phone now. I got one of these phones that's got a GPS in it. Y'all got that too, right? Yeah. I'm in the car sometime. Barbara said, who are you talking to? I said, that's just the other lady. Turn right. Exit so-and-so, turn left. So, you know, I'm driving. I had to go to this address in Valley Forge. Never been there before in my life. Went to the American Baptist headquarters down in Valley Forge. And so you put it in and it gives you directions. But once you program it, the destiny is set. Look at somebody said, destiny is the same thing as destination. You know, where you going? Where you going? You want to be a lawyer, you want to be a doctor, you want to be a preacher. That's your destination. And so, and I'm driving, but when I got on the turnpike, it got silent. I'm driving for miles, and it didn't say nothing. And you know how I am. And then after a while, I begin to say, am I going right? Where is this thing going to take me? But it doesn't talk to you at every turn. It just talks to you when you get to the right turn. God doesn't always talk to you every single minute. But when you get to the right place where you need to turn around in your life, God will speak to you and say, you know you're going wrong. Turn around, fool. I'm going on down the road, and you know, I got to exit
the Pennsylvania Turnpike exit 6. I got down to close to exit 6 and said, in 1 mile, take a right. But look at somebody, but it said, some of those GPS things, when you don't hear nothing, how many of you know sometimes you need to hear from God? You're thirsting for him. Lord, I really need to hear from you, and then I need to hear from you right now. So some of those GPSs, they got a thing you can press, and it will tell you what you're supposed to do. And usually, the ones that I've had, it says, if you're not ready for a turn, it just says, keep straight. Look at somebody and say, that's good news from the gospel. I don't know which way to go, just keep straight. And when it's time for you to turn, I'll speak to you. God's not always talking about, some people be, well, God told me to buy this car. Right. That is not a destiny moment. God told me that the Giants going to win. Right. God does not care whether it's the Giants or the Jets. But destiny, when God needs to speak, when it's a destiny moment, when it's a revelation, can't nobody keep God from talking to you. You can hear God through all the static in your life if you just be still and know that I am. I have to tell you, I'm driving down the Turnpike, and I get on the New Jersey Turnpike, I'll get on the Pennsylvania Turnpike. And sometimes it's the longest thing to drive 30 miles. I felt like, I know I've driven more than 30 miles. I think I ought to get off. GPS ain't said nothing. Decide. So I get off. But look at somebody and say, the thing is able to recalculate. In my life, I've made some bad turns, but thanks be to God, the Holy Spirit says, you can recalculate, you can turn around. If Salome had just known, even though she made a bad decision, she can turn around. That's the gospel. You can turn around. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. 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 Oh, if I had been stuck, with just, you can, when your decisions don't match your destination, you're just going around and around in circles. But thanks be to God, once I got off and I said, now, this don't look right. Then the thing said, when you are able, this is actually what it said, when you are able, make a legal U-turn. In your life, you gotta make a U-turn every now. Do I have a witness? You've been going down the road, you're speeding, going fast, going in the wrong direction. But in your life, every now and then, God's gotta slow you down and say, Jackson, make a U-turn. And once I decided to be obedient, I got to my destination. Not only did I get to my destination, I got there early. But when I was hard-headed, so young people, here's what I'm trying to say to you. Once when destiny shows up, you don't always know it's destiny. How many of you know that destiny can show up in choir practice? Destiny can show up in Sunday school class. Destiny can show up right here and worship this morning. You don't know. This might be your turnaround right here. This might be when destiny shows up to change your crazy life. This might be when God speaks to you, even through a little servant boy called Gregory Jackson. God can speak to you and change your situation. When destiny shows up, it can give you a new life.
Salome. I'm about done. Salome showed up at a party. And I was praying, you know, how to say this, but Salome showed up in her negligee, whatever it was she was wearing. She wasn't operating on no divine principle. And those drunk guys were not holy either. But God can use a situation to get glory out of it. Doesn't always happen in holy situations. Wouldn't it be wonderful if some of our brothers and sisters who were in jail, but God showed up in jail? How many of you know God can? Wouldn't it be wonderful when we go through the difficulties of life and we milk the situation for God's honor and God's glory, and we hear the voice of God speaking to us in the midnight of our own existence, and God turns us around. God says, when I tell you to turn, you have to be careful when you meet a saint who God is always talking to. I just don't believe him. I mean, if God's talking to you all the time, that means he can't talk to me. But then again, if you never hear from God, we need to pray about it.